and welcome to another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us by visiting naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Either of those ways will get you to us. And right now on Facebook, The Natural Nurse, we actually have an entire description of how you can sign up for a 100% free advanced session in holistic medicine that is being broadcast today and for the next couple days. It's been on for the last week. And all you have to do is go to facebook.com, naturalnurse/naturalnurse. You'll get to my page. You can like it if you'd like. And then right on the top, there's a click through to sign up for free access to the Natural Medicine Summit. We actually have, you know, thousands of people who are listening in. I've been getting so many emails and phone calls from people who are very happy that they took advantage of that free webinar, which is going on all day today and the next few days. Then I have a feeling they're going to play some of the sessions, replay them for free if you missed them. And then, of course, they do have a way for you to purchase the content if you do not join in for it free. But, hey, why not join in with it for free? Hear from some of the really, really greats in natural medicine. And this is going on today. Such people as Stephen Sinatra, Michael Murray, all kinds of names that you probably have heard about as well. So we invite you to join us. Today's day 9 of the summit, and there's broadcast going on all day. Check it out, and you can find out more. Dr. Mercola is going to be actually lecturing today. I think there's Dr. Mercola, who you may have heard of. He's been a colleague of mine for many, many years. Really has a fabulous column in Natural Medicine and a free newsletter as well. So you can check that out. And, of course, you can always ask your questions anytime by going to naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. So we'd love to hear from you. We have so many people joining us on ground for our lectures as well, where you actually meet myself and Dr. Eugene Zamperone. We have a wonderful day coming up, April 10th, and that's going to be in Chinatown, where you will actually participate in a Chinese tea ceremony, visit the Chinese Museum in Chinatown to learn about the history of the Chinese immigrants in this country. And then we also do Qigong in the park, and we talk about traditional medicine. Traditional medicine includes ancient medicine that actually has been proven in terms of efficacy and safety for thousands of years. Traditional medicine is not the same as conventional medicine. Conventional medicine would be the drugs and surgery of modern times, many of which will never become traditional because they do not stick around that long. However, we do have a wonderful guest today who is going to talk about traditional medicine. And he is going to talk about ancient Ayurveda and modern science, and particularly talking about the detox connection. Today we have as our guest Dr. John Doulard, who's a chiropractor and is a globally recognized leader in the field of natural health, Ayurveda, as well as sports medicine. And he is the creator of LifeSpa.com, easy site to find and tons of information there, LifeSpa, LifeSpa.com. And it is a website about Ayurvedic health and wellness and a fantastic resource. LifeSpa.com is evolving the way Ayurveda is understood around the world, and there's 500 articles and videos talking about the combination of ancient wisdom and modern science. Dr. John is the former director of player development for the New Jersey Nets NBA team. He's the author of 6 books and has been on Dr. Oz, featured in Women's World Magazine, Huffington Post, Yoga Journal, and dozens of other publications. And today he is our guest right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. So thank you so much for joining us, Dr. John.
Thank you, Ellen. Appreciate it.
Now, I'm sure you would agree that Ayurveda fits under the title of traditional medicine.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems that, and I think a lot of people do make that mistake, thinking traditional medicine is just traditional Western medicine, but, you know, traditions are the things that have been around for, you know, thousands of years. And when you look at traditional medicine, you're looking at systems of medicine that were designed to help bring the body back into balance so it could heal itself. And conventional medicine is designed to, you know, do whatever it takes to, you know, treat the body for the body as opposed to allow the body to heal itself. And it's a valuable thing to have both. You want to definitely try to get the body into balance so the body can take care of itself. But there are times when you need something to do the job for the body, and that's Western medicine. So really it's like a medical buffet. We have to learn how to navigate both, but to do just, you know, doing the job for the body and not inspiring the body to do, you know, take care of itself, you know, definitely comes up short. And I think that's the future of medicine, right, is bringing all of these together, because we have such an incredible medical buffet, and learning how to use that buffet is critical.
I like that term, and I've never heard that before, medical buffet. Very
right.
Interesting. I call that good medicine. Rather
right.
than throwing out the baby with the bathwater, or, as you probably know, the politics, which Dr. Z and I wrote about in many of our books, such as The Natural Medicine Chest, where really well-tested natural medicine, including Ayurvedic techniques, which used to be taught in medical schools, was purposefully and politically removed not that long ago, really in the early 1950s, late 1940s, from medical school agendas, switching to only teaching about drugs and surgery, which is why so many doctors are not privy to what you just discussed, Dr. John, a whole buffet of treatments that would be available, and they are limited in their knowledge and practice to only drugs and surgery.
Well, it's so true, and that's, you know, the whole premise of what I do is just publish these newsletters, you know, for free. We have over 700 of them and videos online, is to prove this ancient wisdom with modern science, because there are so many things that we've learned and that are time tested. You know, some things that have been used for 1,000 years or more. I mean, chances are that, you know, they work a little bit. Otherwise, they would stop using it after a few thousand years. So to take that and then find that there's actually really good scientific evidence to prove those ancient techniques, you know, that's the best of both worlds, because I'm sure that you totally get it. You can cherry pick science to prove whatever you want. And you can find coffee's good and coffee's bad. Soy is good, soy is bad. Wheat is good, wheat is bad. Dairy is good, dairy is bad. I mean, anything you want to prove, you can prove. Science alone is, you know, it sort of depends on who's funding it, and that's not good enough. But when you take something that's been used for thousands of years and you have modern science to back it up, well, then I think you have something a little bit more solid to stand on, and something, hey, look, this is time-tested. We have the science to prove it. Maybe we should look at it. And that's the cool thing, is that the research community is constantly proving, without even realizing it. Like, they're doing all the science on circadian medicine, saying it's the future of, it's going to revolutionize medicine as we know it. That's living in sync with the natural cycles, eating with the seasons.
Let me backtrack you 1 minute, Dr. John. Let us, since we threw out a term that, of course, you and I know what that means, but let's just define for our listeners, what do you mean by circadian rhythm?
Circadian rhythms is our ability to connect with the day and night cycles. And we have internal clocks all throughout our body that regulate, you know, our ability to turn digestion on during the day and turn it off at night and sleep. And our ability to survive is based on connections with those circadian cycles. New science has shown that human beings have lost the ability for their internal genetic clocks to hear the rhythms of nature, sort of like whales beaching themselves. They can't connect anymore. And the science is saying that we've disconnected, and getting reconnected is what they're calling, in an article in Scientific America, the future of medicine. It's going to revolutionize medicine. I'm going, wait, stop. Ayurvedic medicine, 101 Ayurveda, is learning how to live with the seasons and eat with the seasons and the daily rhythms of the day, eat in the middle of the day, go to bed at the right time, wake up at the right time. All these ancient principles of living, simple, basic stuff, really, living in harmony with nature, has been now proven by modern science. And that's sort of the excitement that was what I write about all day long, is all this incredible proof about these ancient principles and how to get us reconnected but still live in this modern world.
So let me ask you this. It's really interesting that you brought up this topic. I wrote an article, which I do also write every month for some newspapers, and one I wrote last month on light pollution.
Right.
And it was published, but the editor put a note in because I was talking about light pollution, even as we talk about detoxification, as one of the things that trespasses and actually throws these circadian rhythms out, because very few people have any dark in their life ever, because, you know, it's so much lighting outside that can come through the windows. I myself really take a lot of time to make sure everything's blacked out, and I actually wear these special goggles that have room for your eyelashes to move, you know, all kinds of things. And it's a pain in the neck because the light pollution is so intense. But the editor wrote a note saying, well, they should ignore my article because really, you know, blasting light all over the place improves safety, and that's more worth worrying about than circadian rhythms.
Well, you know, the thing is that what they know, and here's what they know, is that the most primitive cell, the earliest cell, billions of years ago, that those cells, the very first cells on this planet, had connections to the light-dark cycles. Their survival depended on them, you know, adapting to the light and dark cycles. It was critical to our survival, to our evolution. And to all of a sudden say, now, you know, how many years has it been since we've had light? You know, 100 years? Not even, really. You know, 100 was it, the 1890s we had light, right, for the first time. But when everybody actually got light. I mean, it's compared to our millions of years of evolution, 4 million-plus years of evolution, you could say we have no genetics to actually have the light on at night and light shining. I think you're absolutely right. Any way that we can reconnect to the natural cycles, we don't realize that the microbes in the soil, which change from one season to the next, and those microbes, they are attracted to certain plants. When we eat those plants, we eat those microbes, and those microbes change our microbiome from one season to the next to dissipate heat in the summer, to boost immunity in the winter, to decongest us in the spring. There was one report, this one study that showed that if a deer were to eat out of season, they eat bark in the winter and leaves in the summer, but if they were to eat bark in the summer, which they wouldn't have the microbes to digest bark in the summer. They have microbes to digest leafy greens and leaves in the summer. But if they did eat bark, it would cause such a level of indigestion, it would kill the deer. And I'm going like, wait a minute. You're telling me a deer dies when they eat out of season? And what do we do? Like, we are completely disconnected to that. And I wrote a book on that called The Three-Season Diet a long, long time ago. And recently decided to do this thing called the Three-Season Diet Challenge, which is every month we put out an absolutely free eating with a season packet with recipes and superfoods and grocery lists for every month of the year, so people can just get connected to these natural cycles. It's completely free. It's something that everybody should start to get realized that our connection to the rhythms of nature, our circadian clock, like you said, the light-dark cycles, this is critically important. And you know what's really cool that I think about Ayurvedic medicine and traditional systems of medicine is that they were tuned in to the really subtle stuff. And we are completely disconnected from the subtle stuff. And what we're finding now is that the subtle stuff, like our microbes, which we can't even see, right, make up 90% of the cells of the human body and do everything for us. They're in charge of everything. and they're so incredibly subtle. We know that these microbes, which do everything, are completely affected by stress. Completely stress is affected by lifestyle. If you stress out your bugs and you're stressed out, your good bugs actually disappear and your bad bugs proliferate. We know that if you took the fecal matter or the poop out of an anxious mouse, put it into a calm mouse, the calm mouse gets anxious. That your microbes determine your mood, your energy, your ability to handle blood sugar, absolutely everything, and they're completely affected by the style of your life. The quality of your life, whether you're stressed out or pushing or really allowing yourself to be peaceful on the inside, engaging in loving and kind and generous behavior, makes a scientific difference not only in your microbes, but in your genes. It changes your genetic code. It epigenetically affects us. It lengthens your telomeres, makes you live longer. The science now that is suggesting that we are loving, kind creatures, and that's what allows us to evolve, is absolutely very, very real. Yes, we survive. We can fight. We can be violent if we have to be to survive, but that doesn't define us. That's who we had. We have that ability to survive, but who we really are, the science is pretty clear. The 90% of us, our genes and our telomeres and our chromosomes, all which link to aging, higher cognitive function, all thrive in a loving, kind, joyful, giving, considerate, you know, environment and emotional state. It's pretty powerful.
Well, that was a beautiful statement, Dr. John, and I do want to remind our listeners that a great place to go to access all this information, and you have so much free information, videos, a newsletter people can sign up for, very easy, lifespa.com, LIFESPA.com. How did you come up with that name, Life Spa?
You know, for years that we had a spa here where we actually did Ayurvedic treatments, retreat therapies. I co-directed Deepak Chopra Center in 1986. I came back. I met him in India, came back and ran his center for 8 years in Massachusetts. And then he went to California. I went to Boulder, Colorado, opened up a spa here that I had for the last 20 years or so. And so that was our company name, Life Spa, and then it just evolved to be sort of a more of a web presence where I put out all the knowledge, online 3 times a week. We put out a video newsletter, and we have all kinds of free ebooks and all this free content for folks just to get the knowledge so people can take care of themselves and get reconnected.
Which is really what it's about. That's why doctor really means teacher. So
yeah.
You're taking that role seriously.
Yeah.
Now, you threw out another nice vocabulary word that I want to backtrack a little bit to,
okay,
which is telomere.
All right.
You mentioned that you actually can support telomeres. Why would you want to do that? What are they?
Well, Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn, who is a Nobel Prize-winning researcher, found that our aging process is linked to these little chromosomal caps. Like if you look at a shoelace, there's little plastic caps on the end. Well, those caps can lengthen or shorten based on how much stress you're under or how fast you're aging. And if you're aging pretty fast, they shorten. And if they lengthen, if you're living longer and healthier, they lengthen. So what she found was she won the Nobel Prize because telomere length was linked to aging, but what she also found, and she got completely hammered for this because she's now a Nobel Prize winning scientist, and then she actually said, well, if stress makes the caps shorten, which decreases aging, what would happen if we did things to de-stress you? So she did research on meditation, and you and I would say, like, well, that sounds really cool, right? And probably all the listeners will say, that sounds really cool. But in the scientific community, they're like, you're going to study meditation? And she got clobbered for being, you know, going out on a limb and studying something as ooga booga and as metaphysical and as non-scientific as meditation. But she did it anyway. And she's just an amazing woman. And she found that when people meditate, they lengthen their telomere. It's called an enzyme that actually increases telomere length and protects them by 30% in one study and 43% in another study when you meditate. So there absolutely are things that you can do to live longer. And we now know that when you're stressed out, that shortens these telomeres for sure. And meditation, and what Ayurveda called a lifestyle of living what's called, they called it sattvic. Sattvic means living a joyful, happy, giving, kind, generous lifestyle. Here's a crazy study that blew my mind. They actually measured when people give to another person. You can give completely freely with no expectation at all, or you can give what the researchers called eudaimonically, which means I give you this little present, but I'm really hoping you like it. If I have a little bit of an attachment that you like what I give you, even a little, and like we all do, right? When you give a present, you want them to like it, right? But if you can just give with no expectation and no attachment to the outcome, it actually has a positive effect on the genetic code. But if you give with a little bit of a hook, no effect on the genetic code.
So that's interesting.
Powerful, right? And this is the difference between two hormones in the body. One is called dopamine, which is the reward chemistry hormone, which is what we're all about. If I work really hard, I make a lot of money. If I, you know, go shopping, I buy shoes, I get happy. If I go to Starbucks, I get happy. You know, we're all about a reward chemistry. That's been driven into our heads since we've been little kids. But that reward chemistry is short-lived. The more that you stimulate the dopamine receptors, the bigger stimulant you need to get the same juice, the same reward, the same level of happiness and contentment, right? But there's another hormone, which Ayurveda was all about, called oxytocin, which comes when you give and love and care and bond and take care of others. And when you give with no expectation, with no attachment to the outcome. And that's the hormone that delivers longevity, health, happiness, joy. But the more you trigger oxytocin, the more you can make. There's no limit. Dopamine is limited by how much you stimulate it. But dopamine is unlimited. So this is the one, the more you care for others and give. This is what Ayurveda defined thousands of years ago, a lifestyle to take care of others, to be at peace, to care, to love, to give, to joy, to be generous. And that is what's now being shown to extend our life. And to make us healthier and more joyful and more content as we live. So these are like ancient principles that are now totally proven by modern science. You know, yet you turn on CNN and, you know, you don't get any of that, you know? So we're being bombarded with a culture that is telling us and convincing us to stress out and to worry and to fight and all this kind of stuff, you know?
Oh, well, obviously there is so much prejudice and control. Probably if you tracked it down through the PR chain, it will go to payment through the pharmaceutical companies, because you'll see as front page headlines, if anybody takes an Ayurvedic herb that's totally safe but chokes on the pill, you'll see that on the front page, but not by how many people are harmed by a particular pharmaceutical drug.
Yeah. It's amazing. I think we're going to look back, and in 50 years, we're going to look back at those commercials, the drug commercials on TV, and we're going to look at that, and we're going to be like, are you kidding me? That's actually what they put on TV, and people took that stuff that had, you know, 5 minutes of side effects that could just about kill you, and that's what people were taking in the name of health? I mean, it's just so barbaric, you know?
Isn't it amazing? But the fact that they are actually allowed to be on TV, well, if you wanted to say a specific Ayurvedic, and you certainly can mention one here, that would be specifically good for a disease process and has been proven for thousands of years and has scientific evidence, you still are not allowed to say when you're selling it that it helps a specific disease.
We have 700 articles, and a lot of them are about herbs that take care of, you know, increase your telomere length and circadian rhythms and all this stuff. I have to write my articles. We have an FDA fact checker here in my office. I write the article. I do the best I can to adhere to the FDA rules. Then we have somebody who actually has to edit what I write to make sure I don't cross the line and make any relationship to these herbs treating a disease.
Isn't that awful? But I want you to do that here. I want you to do that today, right here. We're going to take a little break right here at the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. But when we come back, I would like Dr. John Dullard, and you're allowed to do this here on the radio, discuss a specific Ayurvedic therapy. It can be herbal or anything that you want, in relationship to a specific disease. We're still allowed to do that here for now. So I think that's the kind of information people should be getting, and then they can make a choice like you said, from the buffet of therapies that may be available, and that their doctor can also make that choice without worrying about, you know, FDA repercussions. But we will be right back with more. Thank you so much for joining us. While we go to break, visit Dr. Dulert's site, sign up for his free newsletter, look at the amount of content he has there for you at lifespa.com. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll take a look at the soybean, its phytochemistry, and its role as a food and medicine.
It is exciting to see a resurgence in research by universities and food scientists on the role that foods play in disease prevention. Many of these institutions, such as the United Soybean Board, the American Soybean Farmers Association, and the National Cancer Institute, are busy developing designer foods, or superfoods, concentrating the essential nutrients and phytochemicals in soybeans and other foods that have potent medicinal effects. Commonly known foods which have soy in them include soy milk, a cheese-like substance called tofu, tempeh, a fermented soy protein, and tamari, a fermented soy sauce. The soybean is a rich source of many nutrients, including selenium, zinc, beta-carotene, vitamins A, C, and E, and 20 of the 22 amino acids. Soy also contains essential fatty acids.
Research on soy foods is vast and well known to health enthusiasts, although the general public and physicians in the United States may not be aware of this plethora of research. In Japan and China, however, this is not the case, as a voluminous number of scientific studies have been carried out in animals and humans. Chinese studies reveal that soy products can increase the ability, rate of activity, and number of white blood cells. Patients receiving chemotherapy and radiation can benefit from drinking soy milk, which in several studies demonstrated a protective effect on the liver and gastrointestinal system.
It is interesting to note that the British journal Lancet revealed that vegetarians and Asians who ingest high amounts of soy have the lowest rates of cancer. This is due to one of soy's constituents called genistein. This chemical is a phytoestrogen, or plant estrogen, which can decrease and block the uptake of human estrogen and testosterone, as well as enhance its excretion. Like the drug tamoxifen, it competes with estrogen for uptake in the reproductive tissues. By doing so, hormone-dependent cancers like ovarian, breast, and prostate cancers may be prevented.
In conditions where there is a deficiency of hormones, such as osteoporosis and menopause, soy isoflavones, such as genistein, can weakly mimic estrogen and reduce the severity of these problems.
So, listeners, don't count out the versatile soybean. Make it a delicious and nutritious part of your natural medicine chest.
Welcome back once again to another edition right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Eugene Zamperone and I have been bringing you information about natural medicine. Well, I've been practicing it since 1964. Yep, that's with a six. And Dr. Z came along about 10 years after me, so we've been doing this a very, very long time. We have many books and articles, in fact, on our website, which is naturalnurse.com, and you can check them out and sign up for a free newsletter or participate, only a few days left to participate for free, in the Natural Medicine Summit. And to do that, the easiest way is to go to facebook.com/naturalnurse. Right on the top, we do have a link right to the Natural Medicine Summit with free sign-in information, and that's going to last a couple days. If you guys decide to look for it, later, or if you're hearing a rebroadcast of the show, the content is still available, but that particular content may not still be free. And our guest today, Dr. John Dullard, also has on his site, lifespa.com, hundreds of articles and beautiful, clear videos on information that can help you in your own, hopefully, search for ultimate wellness. That's the best time to take care of your health. And Dr. John Dullard is a globally recognized leader in the field of natural health with a specialty in Ayurveda as well as sports medicine. And he has been sharing with us tons of information. He has books. He's been on Dr. Oz, Women's World Magazine, Huffington Post, Yoga Journal, and dozens of other publications. And his actual physical location is in Boulder, Colorado, but his online location, which is accessible by anyone anywhere in the world, is lifespa.com. So thank you again for joining us today, Dr. John.
Thank you, Ellen. Appreciate it.
So we left off saying that, of course, you do have, you know, you may be discussing circadian rhythms, but is there a disease process that you'd like to share about where people could look to natural medicine and Ayurveda in particular for help?
Well, yeah, I'd like to talk about something that is brand new. 6 months ago, researchers at the University of Virginia found that there were lymphatic vessels that literally drain your brain. Before that, Western medicine considered the brain and the central nervous system completely devoid of the lymphatic system, which is the largest circulatory system in your body that is a feeding system for the body for good fats and a detoxification system. It's the drains in your body. Imagine if your drains were clogged, how you would feel. If your drains were clogged in your house, bad things would happen. Well, we have drains. They're called lymph, and they found 6 months ago that our brain drains literally 3 pounds of beta amyloid plaque, which is linked to Alzheimer's disease, and other toxic chemicals out of the brain every single year. So all of a sudden, brain lymphatic drainage has now been linked to autoimmune conditions, infections, inflammation, anxiety, depression, the whole grain brain phenomena. I have a book coming out very soon called Eat Wheat. It's got over 605 references proving that we may have found wheat guilty without a fair trial, just like we did with cholesterol 60 years ago. That wheat is a hard-to-digest protein. I get it. But if you digest it well, it doesn't congest your lymphatic system and go into your brain. But if you digest it well, these things don't happen. So if you have really good digestive strength, then your digestive system, which is linked to your ability to detoxify, are maintained, you know, healthy. But if your digestive system breaks down, then the intestinal skin breaks down. And the skin, which lines your intestinal tract, and if you flatten it all out, it's as big as a tennis court, so you have a whole lot of it. If that skin is not healthy, then the microbes, we all talk about probiotics, they're not going to thrive on an intestinal skin that is not healthy. And on the other side of that intestinal skin is your lymphatic system, the drains of your body. And if those drains get clogged, anxiety, depression, autoimmune conditions, skin rashes, holding on to water, puffiness, tiredness, lethargy, depression, allergies, hypersensitivity reactions, food concerns. The drains are the cause of most of our problems. So we wanted to say, so what is something we can do to help heal the intestinal skin? Increase lymphatic drainage, help drain the toxic waste from our brain, and also support cognitive function and better mental health. And there are many herbs for this, but there's one herb that does all of that, and I want to share that with you. Great. It's an herb called Brahmi, or we have an herb called Brahmi Brain. If you go to my website, you can read all about the science. And the herb is Centella Asiatica. It's a very special herb that has been shown to support the skin of the stomach to protect you from ulcers, heal the skin of your intestinal tract to support optimal digestion and assimilation. It's a natural microcirculation agent for lymphatic drainage, for even things like cellulite, and it drains your brain. It's the classic herb for mental cognitive function to protect your brain from cognitive decline and aging in an aging brain. down the road. So there's one herb that is just like, and it's a food. If you, it was historically, this was picked as a leafy green to put in your salads, and it was eaten on a regular basis to support cognitive function, mental
health.
As we
do here in Florida, because we give herb walks and outside herbal identification, and it does grow wild, and also called gota cola. So that's a wonderful choice. It's also interesting in terms of the Ayurvedic concept of ama. The ancient, it sounds like what you're describing was very similar to what they called ama, which was some kind of gunky mucus that clogged up the works.
Whenever we get weak digestion, we get ama, which is undigested food. And I know that you understand, you know, the history of the whole no cholesterol diet in 1960 when they took cholesterol, take it out of our diet, and they replaced it with wheat and corn. And we went from really thriving on a fat-based diet to a sugar-based diet. Our gallbladder got congested, and our ability to handle and digest large amount of fats became compromised. And that was that, and the liver became congested, and the bile became thick. And when the bile became thick, if you can stay with me for a second, that is a Pac-Man that gobbles up fats and toxins and chemicals and parasites and preservatives and heavy metals and all this yucky stuff in your liver and in your intestinal tract. But it also buffers the acid in your stomach. So if you don't have good bile to detoxify and to deliver and emulsify good fats and give your brain good fats and your skin good fats so you stay youthful, you're also not going to have enough bile to buffer the acid in your stomach. And without the buffers for the acid in your acid in your stomach is what's required to digest wheat and dairy, which is what's required to detoxify. And if you can't eat wheat and dairy and you once could and you took wheat and dairy out of your diet and you say, okay, I'm good, yeah, it doesn't matter if you eat wheat or dairy, but if you took wheat and dairy out of your diet and now you're feeling better, you haven't really fixed the problem. You still have a digestive weakness that is not allowing you to digest the toxic environment that we live in. And one study recently said that we put 4 billion pounds of toxic chemicals in the American environment every single year. 72,000 of those are cancer-causing. So your ability to digest hard-to-digest foods like wheat and dairy, and you don't need, it doesn't matter if you eat them or not, is your ability to digest and detoxify the toxic environment that we live in. And that is critically important because those are fat-soluble chemicals and toxins that will end up in your brain and in your fat cells. And how critically important is that we are good digesters and therefore good detoxifiers to navigate this incredibly toxic world we live in. And that's just simple logic, right? I mean, yeah, I can take the wheat and dairy out of my diet. I feel better. Fine, do that. But don't stop there. We haven't fixed the problem. And that's my whole point is like, hey, guys, let's stop treating the symptoms and really address the underlying cause. Yeah, they took cholesterol out of our diet in 1960, and our gallbladder's atrophied. We don't have the ability to digest. When you look at a gallbladder, for example, that sack of bile, which is a fat emulsifying chemical, the bile that gobbles up all the fats in your body, good and bad, that has 15 times to 20 times concentrated bile. It's a huge sack of this bile to digest crazy amounts of fat. We're talking like the brains and the intestinal skin of a woolly mammoth kind of fat that we would sit and eat in one sitting. We don't even come close to digesting the kind of fat that we were hardwired to and designed to be able to eat in one sitting. And because of the no cholesterol, low fat diet and the replacing it with sugar, we have become lousy fat burners and really great sugar burners. And our epidemic is prediabetes. That's our epidemic of our time. And we've lost the ability as a culture to burn fat, to detoxify naturally, to utilize and burn and deliver good fats to the brain. Fat is your calm fuel, your stable fuel, your sleep through the night fuel, your handle stress really well fuel, your detoxify toxic chemical fuel, and even molecule of emotion fuel. It helps break, helps you detoxify old, this is even crazy, but there's good science behind it, that we have old patterns of emotional behavior that lodge in our fat cells that make us think and do the same dumb stuff again and again and again, and those can be detoxified, turn that old toxic soil if you are a good fat burner. And we've created a culture where we made it very difficult for most of us to burn fat. So we gain weight. Our mood's unstable. We can't handle stress well. Sleeping through the night requires you to burn fat and break the fast with breakfast. These are all things that are part of, you know, what nature provides seasonally is to make sure we get foods that naturally make us burn fat, that naturally turn the soil and detoxify us. But we've lost all that. So now we actually help people go through and do natural cleanses that reset digestion and get them back on track so they can become really good fat burners again, amp up their digestion. So if you wanted to have some good quality wheat and dairy, it wouldn't be a deal breaker.
Now, you have a great article on your site, lifespa.com, about so many things, but one quite current right now in March is the brain-lymph connection for better mood and memory, where you talk about all this new research that you've been sharing with us, including the glymphatics, great new word. And I love how you say, okay, 3 minutes and 12 seconds, that's the time investment to learn all about this new research. That's wonderful for really busy people.
Right. Yeah, that's a great article. And now, you know, it's really interesting, right? Because we've all been hearing lymphatic, you know, the word lymph in relationship to cancer diagnosis for the last 30 years. And the reason why you haven't heard lymphatic drainage in reference to health is because they have no way of measuring the lymphatic flow. It comes from the stuff in between your cells. It sort of builds up in these little vessels, and the vessels become bigger. And
well,
they have
okay,
no way...
hold on 1 second. One thing people may recognize is lymphedema following breast cancer surgery.
Sure.
That's the same idea.
Right, exactly. So we've only heard the term lymph and lymphatic system and lymphedema in reference to the disease, but you're beginning to now hear about it in terms of optimal health, because it's literally the drains in your body, and they get clogged, and when the drains get clogged, bad things happen. And Ayurveda, which is really cool, the very first thing that they would treat was the lymphatic flow of your body. They would think this made sense to them. Let's fix the drains first, because if they're not, you can't get the waste out, bad things are going to happen. And where it all starts is inside your intestinal skin. So the health of your intestinal skin, the health of your lymphatic system, and the microbiology that therefore depends on all that, all of those three are linked to aging and the aging process. So putting your eggs in that basket is critically important for your ability to thrive, to live a long, healthy life. It's really, you know, the lymphatic system and the intestinal skin are really your detoxification and your digestive, you know, system. And if that breaks down, you can't get the good stuff in, can't get the bad stuff out, you know, we're not going to feel good.
Well, excellent information, and we're going to take another break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and we're going to allow you to hear about many of the fantastic shows that are here on Progressive Radio Network. Dr. Z and I have many radio shows. You can find them at naturalnurse.com under radio, and one of our favorites is definitely this show right here on Progressive Radio Network. One reason is the accessibility. You can listen every Tuesday, 10 to 11 a.m., live, as you are today, with our wonderful guest, Dr. John Doulard, who you can find at lifespa.com. And there's so many great shows, and you can visit us also on the archives 24/7. So we'll take a break right now, and then we'll be back with more at Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Welcome back for more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Thank you so much for joining us today. We love to hear from you. Visit us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. You can easily email us or call us. There are phone numbers there as well for those people who don't like to communicate electronically. You can give us a call. We'll call you back. And today we have as our guest a wonderful doctor, Dr. John Doulard. His website where you can find all kinds of incredible information and sign up for a free newsletter is lifespa.com. And he has really been sharing with us the latest information from mainstream medical literature. And his specialty is marrying that to traditional beliefs. And when we talk about traditional medicine, we mean medicine that has been in use for thousands of years. And his specialty is Ayurvedic medicine, the science of life, which is an ancient study in India and still being proven as we speak to have validity to help you in your health. And Dr. Dhullar, thank you so much for joining us today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Thank you very much.
You discussed the importance of healthy fats. And, of course, finally, that conversation has been sort of reaching out to us through all that yelling and shouting about fat-free, which was probably some of the worst health information we were ever given. And you're talking about healthy fats that we can add to our diet in Ayurveda. And one excellent one that I've been using probably 40 years is ghee. Tell us what that is, how you spell it, and why you recommend it as part of your healthy eating plan.
Well, ghee is what's called clarified butter, right? So you take regular butter that's non-salted and you boil it, and all the milk solids, they boil off, and you're left with just the fat of the butter. And the primary fatty acid in that butter is called butyric acid, and that's where butter got its name, was from butyric acid. Now, what's interesting is that in Ayurveda, they recommend cooking with ghee, cleansing and detoxifying with ghee, that it's the major fat for intestinal health. Well, now we know that there's actually microbes inside your intestinal tract, one called Clostridium butyricum, and guess what? Clostridium butyricum does. It actually makes butyric acid, literally makes ghee in your intestinal tract. And this butyric acid is the primary driver for intestinal health, for the energy for the cells of your intestinal tract, for the immunity of the intestinal tract, which is where 70 to 80% of your immune system exists, is inside your intestinal tract, to feed the good microbes, and that is the very short list of what ghee will do for you. And this is a fat that, this is why I just love the idea of ancient wisdom and modern science. How did they know 5,000 years ago that taking, you know, dairy products and boiling it down into this fat and refining it to get this, just the pure fat of the actual dairy or the milk itself, and then taking it would actually be so beneficial and so healthy to the intestinal tract that we actually have microbes that do nothing but manufacture butyric acid or ghee in the intestinal tract. Most of the Ayurvedic cleanses that we talk about use ghee to chelate or to attach to or to grab onto other fats. It's called, there's a study that was done showing that if you ingest ghee, it actually goes into the body and pulls and yucky toxic fats out of your cells, out of your tissues. Certain chemicals and pesticides and preservatives were pulled out of the fat cells. It's called lipophilic cellular mediation detox, which means that the fats in the ghee attach to the fatty toxins and they pull them out of your body, and there's good science to prove that. So here again we have an ancient therapy of detox using ghee to cleanse the body, which is now being proven by modern science. And that's the fascinating part. You know, I think as we go blasting into the future, we really can vet some of these crazy concepts like the no-fat diet with some historical perspective and then tie that to modern science to go, you know what, maybe this whole no-fat thing is not a really good idea. And taking good fats that are really, really, that have been used for thousands of years, maybe we should test them. And that's exactly what Ayurveda has, brings to the table for us. It's a very intact, thousands of years science, time-tested information, and we do at LifeSpa, is we bridge the gap. We say, hey, yeah, here's some really cool ancient concepts, and here is some really very interesting Western science to prove that, and these have been and these are techniques that have been used forever and ever, so maybe this might be a safer platform for us to take steps into our natural health approach.
And I know that you have on your website, lifespa.com, something available for people called a three-season diet along with a grocery list. Is that somewhere where they may find how to actually integrate something like ghee into their diet?
Oh, yeah. Well, right. There's a couple of things I want to share with everybody. One is that we put out a monthly grocery list and a monthly packet of information to how to get connected with the season. You want me to, what I do is I hold your hand and say, here, here's what's harvested and available in nature in March and in April and in May and in June to get us reconnected to those natural rhythms of nature we talked about. Right now, we're also offering an absolutely free three-part video training called The Critical Strategy for How to Detox Your Body Naturally. And it's a three-part video training. It's completely free. It's already up and running right now. People are loving it. It's a completely free training of how to take care of your body, heal your intestinal skin, get your lymphatic system detoxified, reboot your digestive strength so you can naturally detoxify. And it's a three-part video training. You can find that at lifespa.com/natural detox. So lifespa.com/natural detox, you get this incredible free three-part training video series about how to detox naturally. That's also on my homepage at lifespa.com. You'll see it right there as well. But that's a really cool thing for folks if you're you know, saying, God, I like this idea of lymph and brain lymph, and this is really serious stuff. This is stuff that the Western medicine didn't even know existed until 6 months ago. Now, just think about that for a second. We're talking about lymphatic vessels in your brain that drain 3 pounds of toxic chemicals out of your brain every year, and we didn't even know those vessels existed 6 months ago. And now, in the last 6 months, they've linked that to Alzheimer's, to autoimmune conditions, anxiety and depression and infections and inflammation. And Ayurveda had linked that to so many health concerns for thousands and thousands of years, and the science is just beginning to catch up. So I talk about, you know, what Ayurveda knew thousands of years ago, the strategies they had for lymphatic detoxification and help the body, you know, be a better detoxifier, heal the intestinal skin. So they're really easy, simple strategies for folks to get, you know, back on track and go, wow, this is so logical. And so much of it goes right back to, hey, you know what? This stuff is harvested in season. If we would just eat the things that nature is providing for us in season, it doesn't mean you have to only eat seasonal food. You know, when I give you these grocery lists for winter, summer, and spring, and for each month, all I say is circle the foods on this seasonal grocery list that you like and just give yourself permission to eat more of the foods in season and stop thinking about what I can't eat, what I can't eat, what I can't eat, and start thinking about what you should eat more of and just flip it and change the concept to what I can do versus what I can't do or shouldn't do.
That's a wonderful move psychologically as well. And what you find is if someone were to follow these season guides, then you're full. So basically you've already eaten a lot of the best foods of the season. And then if you want to eat something else also, that's fine. But like you said, with the concept of adding rather than deleting from what you can have in your daily life.
Totally, totally. There's so much, you know, simple information, and that's the beauty of Ayurveda, is the logic and the simplicity of understanding how nature really provided. For example, if you look in the winter, it's a high protein, high fat time of the year. It's an Atkins time of the year. If you were
a
squirrel,
that's a good way to put it.
You're eating nuts and seeds and soups and stews and more meat, right? In the winter, it's a naturally occurring high fat, high protein time of the year. But when we go into the springtime, the rules completely change. There are no fats. It's leafy greens and root vegetables and sprouts and berries and grapefruits. It's a low fat time of year. It's a Jenny Craig time of the year. and naturally occurring low fat diet. That's what nature gives us. After all the heavy stuff in the winter, we go into a low fat diet in the spring to help us naturally detoxify. This is a great time of year to detoxify because the body is being forced because, you know, if we were living off the land right now, there's not a lot coming out of the ground right now. So it's sort of starvation time. It's really hard. People fasted and did their vision quest in the spring because there wasn't a lot of food available. It takes a while for nature to gear up and, you know, produce a lot of food. And then come summer, we have a very high fruit and vegetable, high carbohydrate, you know, McDougal, Pritikin, high carb vegetarian kind of diet. And that happens naturally. So we go from a high protein, high fat diet in the winter to a low-fat diet in the spring, to a high-carb diet in the summer. Literally the three best-selling diets on the planet that we've been fighting over for the last 30 years exist in nature for 4 months of the year. And if you eat any one of those, like they tell you to do, you begin to just crave and typically binge on the other two-thirds of nature's harvest, which you didn't get because you were stuck being told dogmatically to eat just this one diet, a high-protein, high-fat diet. It's not sustainable. We could never do that. So the idea is that nature provided this incredible, beautiful flow of high protein, high fat to rebuild and reboot and restore your nervous system, a low-fat diet in the spring to detoxify you, and a high carbohydrate, you know, high fruit, high vegetable diet to give you the energy to make it through the long days and the short nights of summer.
Well, Dr. Diller, thank you so much for all that wisdom. Believe it or not, we are at the end of our time here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. I'll definitely send you a link to the show, which you can share on your website as well. And if people want to find out more, lifespa.com is the best place to go. Sign up for free newsletter, the dietary and grocery list information, and all the wonderful things that Dr. John Doulard has available for you. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Ellen.
And thank you, listeners. You can always find us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.